Hello and welcome to Cubicles in Christ. Kelly Johnson, certified leadership coach and founder of Be Well My Soul, is on a mission to encourage and inspire you to be spiritually authentic and thrive in life. Let's join the conversation with Kelly now.
Live fully and be filled. Today we're talking with Wendy Traylor. She's a Christ lover, wife, mom, daughter, sister, and an aunt. In other words, she's a busy woman. But let me tell you a little bit more about Wendy before we get into our conversation. She's worked in corporate America for many years as both an auditor and an HR professional. During that time, she discovered that she had strong passions in other areas. And after leaving corporate America, she decided to explore those passions and bring much needed joy back into her life. So now she's an entrepreneur, a blogger, a fitness instructor. She loves to cook, sing, and she's a fashion lover. Today, Wendy's going to talk with us about living simply, living fully, and being filled. Wendy lives in Houston with her husband and her two children. I'm so glad to have you on the show today, Wendy. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Kelly. I'm just thrilled to be here too.
Awesome. So I mentioned it earlier, and you have this expression on your website, which says, live fully and filled. What does that mean to you?
When I was putting together my blog, I really wanted to have that on there because it's so important to me because it talks and speaks to where I am right now in my life. Kind of like what you just talked about. I was in corporate America for many years. Most recently, I was in human resources. And the company that I worked in, I was there for almost 12 years. And I knew in my heart, I was not living authentically. Every time I left my home, I left my real self at the house. And as I drove to work, I became a new person, a different person, but that's not who I really was. And it just was something that ate at me every single day. I know looking back at my experiences in corporate America, I had wonderful experiences. I learned a lot, worked with some smart, dynamic people, and I developed a very strong work ethic. So those are blessings that I got from those experiences, those many, many years of experiences. But going back to what I also said about being a different person at home versus at work, that was just something that I just didn't like. So the other thing that ate away at me is that I gave my all to my company. And when I came home at night, like at 7 o'clock, I had very little to give to my family. And that just didn't feel right in either. At work, I tried to fit into a mold, try to be a person that I thought my superiors wanted me to be, and that wasn't authentic. It left me feeling very insecure. I really didn't like myself and didn't appreciate the gifts that God had given me in my qualities, my abilities. So all of that, I just felt miserable and not valued. And when I was severed from my job in December 2015, I made a decision that I didn't want to go back to that kind of lifestyle. I wanted to tap into the passions that I knew were there, but I literally put on a shelf and said, you know what, we'll get back to that at some point. I wanted to get back to that and explore those passions. And instead of living for somebody else and helping somebody else get their next promotion and their next rank or whatever, I wanted to help myself finally be who I wanted or what I thought or think God has put me on earth to do and to be. So living fully and filled is living authentically. That's what it means to me. It's tapping into passions that God gave to you, God gave to me, and fulfilling that and living life to the fullest. That's what it means in a nutshell. And in my blog, I try to explore that. I share my journey, what I'm learning through it, and I try to pass on learning to other people to help them as well. So that's it in a nutshell.
I love that. And you know, I resonate with that journey on so many levels. Just to give a little bit of our backstory so that people know some context, Wendy and I, you and I have known each other since we were in sixth grade. We are a long way away from that time.
We are.
Unfortunately. And it's interesting that my journey towards spiritual authenticity, integrating that in my career began in August of 2015, right? Mm-hmm. So just a few months before you, I was part of a layoff with the company that I was working for, and it set me on a path of really questioning, what's my next step and how do I not go back to that place of not being authentic? And at the time, I couldn't quite label it or put my finger on it. So I would love for you to talk just maybe a little bit more about what it's like to operate in that shell. You described it as a shell, right? And I completely resonate with that. It's sort of, there's this person of who I am at home. And then literally in the car, as you're walking into the building, I felt that same way of, let me put on this persona, this whatever, to be who I think you have to be in order to be successful. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. Well, it started physically. Even in the way I dressed, I was just very conservative in the colors that I would wear and just the kind of clothes I would wear. And then on the weekends, I'd be wearing jeans with rips in them. Mm-hmm. And so it's just completely different. And I mean, if you look at my closet, it's totally showed that story. So it starts with that, but then how I would interact with people. I'm a natural introvert, and I always felt that my company didn't really respect introverts. They wanted really extroverted, aggressive people. And so I felt that the expectation was to be aggressive, to not necessarily, I hate to say this, but not necessarily live with, operate with integrity. And that was just something that really, really ate away at me. I just didn't like it. And here you are in human resources too. And, you know, people, employees look to you as a resource, as someone that they can go to. And I think any HR professional can understand that that's a difficult balancing act. You're there to support the company, but then you're also there to support the employee. So it is kind of a tricky balance, just given the untold expectations that I felt very strongly. I felt at times, just without even going into it specifically, but I felt like I was being asked to go against what I believed, against my belief system. I'll say it that way. And that was something that I struggled with at the job. And I would often take home with me and just really grapple with it. It was hard. Does that kind of get to your question?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. And I want to share even, where do these expectations come from? In other words, some people could listen to us talking and they'd be like, well, what are you talking about? I don't understand. Why do you feel like you need to put on a shell or put on some other persona? And I'm going to share it from my perspective, and I would love to have you add to that or share your own perspective. But I think for me, I think it's very subtle. And I think I started noticing who in the organizations that I worked for, who was successful, who was getting promoted, who was receiving recognition, who was receiving support, mentorship, advocacy. And as I observed the people who appeared to be successful, I started looking at their behavior, their characteristics. And then I started evaluating that against the feedback that I would receive about myself. Oh, well, you should smile more. I can't tell you how many times I've been told that. Well, why do I need to smile? You're not smiling, right? Right? I am naturally a serious person. And why do I need to smile to make you feel more comfortable, right? And so that was my story, my experience. But I think it's important to really peel back the layers of the onion on this conversation, because I think not everyone may experience what you and I have experienced, but for those who have, I want to give voice to this issue.
I don't really have any more to add to what you just described. I think you summed it up very well. What I will add is that once that starts happening, like certain people get that mentorship, they get the experiences, they get the new things that come about when other people don't get it, when they get those special experiences, that just adds up over time. And all of a sudden, they've got a ton more experience than you do. Right. And then there's no question why they're getting promoted and why they're getting the overseas assignments and things like that, because you didn't get the mentorship in the first place or the cushy assignment.
Right, right.
Or you didn't get to shadow somebody. It's just those little things add up over time. And it makes sense why those people are promoted and eventually become your boss, because they've been groomed where you didn't have the chance in the first place.
Absolutely.
And it's for me, I don't know that I got the feedback that I don't smile, but it was, you don't talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And so as an introvert, I'm listening. I feel like I'm a really, really good listener. And so I'm taking things in and I am processing. And so I may not be the outspoken person that is just talking out throughout the whole meeting, but I'm taking a whole bunch of stuff in. And so what I do add is valuable. You just got to wait for it. So right. that was my experience. And they didn't like that because I don't think they knew what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different, I'm just an introvert, and that's okay. At the time, I didn't feel like that was okay. And so I felt bad about it.
That's really good. And I think while my example might be smiling and yours is talking more, everyone mm-hmm. is going to have their own story. I think what's really important to point out is, what's the message that you're hearing from the organization that you're working for? And are they valuing your authentic self? God created you to be an introvert. I am an introvert as well. And we each bring gifts and talents to the table uniquely. I love the word you said about being groomed, because I find that women in particular, I also find that people of color typically don't have access to some of the grooming that provides you education and awareness on some of the unwritten rules in the organization that help you get ahead. And so yeah. I coach a lot of people who are in management and upper levels. And what I find is that they're not always aware of the rules, the unwritten rules of success. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. And I'm not sure that people realize that they need somebody to help them succeed. I didn't have somebody that would help me when I was in my last job in corporate America. I didn't really have someone, because to be a mentor, to help somebody up like that, you have to have a bit of selflessness. And that's easier said than done. And so I didn't really have that. And that was another thing that made me really sad, especially when I looked at others that did have it. I wanted it. It makes me smile now as I'm saying this, because I actually do have someone now. I don't think she even knows that I have, that she's my mentor. But she doesn't know it, but I see her almost every week and I talk with her. I ask her, you know, questions, and she just freely gives it out. And she has volunteered to meet with me separately, just outside of when I see her typically, and help me out. And I'm like, wow. That is huge. And I mean, that says so much about her, that she is a natural teacher and she wants to help see me grow. She wants to help me grow. And I mean, that is just huge.
Yeah.
But I have that now. I didn't have that before. And I think that it is important for people to find somebody. Maybe that person, not even at their current job, find somebody else that can be that person for you.
I agree. And that's so beautiful. So be sure you thank her. And since you said she may not even know that you view her as your mentor. And if you're listening and you have a mentor, be sure you thank your mentor. I recently posted, I think, on Instagram a quote about how, it might be from Rosa Parks, I'd have to go look at it, but just that our life, we're here to be a role model to others, whether that's overtly or maybe silently, but life is about more than just ourselves. And hopefully there's someone who's pouring into us through mentoring and or coaching. And hopefully we're doing the same thing to someone else. So I think that's such a good point to make here.
Yes, I agree.
So let's talk a little bit about what you blog about. I love your message around living fully and filled. I know you're a fitness instructor, and I know that you blog about a variety of topics, one of which there's this sort of undercurrent theme of simplicity. So talk to me about why is it difficult to live fully, and what are some of the mental blocks that might get in the way of us living simply?
One of the things that makes it hard is that we're just so busy. I mean, life is very full. You wake up, if you have a family, you've got to deal with your family, get them where they need to go, and then you go off and do what you do as a vocation, and then you come home and get the family doing what they need to do, and then you go to bed and start it all over again. So it's very hard to put all the pieces together. And so I do talk about a lot of things on the blog: fitness, family life, friends, faith, fashion, food. Some of those are just, they're fun things for me, the food and the fashion. But I also want to add value and help people live a simpler life. And that comes out on the food, with the food component, because I started doing recipe sharing. And it's just me sharing recipes that I've used that are simple, that you can put together easily and provide your family a nutritious meal that's also healthy. And I've gotten really good feedback about that. So it's something I will definitely continue doing. And then I also recently, especially at the beginning of this year, try to give people tips on how they can cook more at home, because a lot of people start the new year just wanting to, they have weight loss goals and things like that. And so cooking more for yourself definitely contributes towards weight management. Also helps with your energy levels, increasing your energy levels, and then also your physical fitness levels. And then another thing that I've blogged about recently was just how to even get started with a new fitness routine. And I try to do that in a simple way, because it's frankly overwhelming if it's something that you haven't done before, or you've done and just couldn't continue doing it, just couldn't get into a routine. So I tried in that post to provide some simple tactics that people can adopt and get into a sustainable routine.
Ooh, you are like right up in my lane right now with this. So let's be sure. I want to include in the show notes a link to that blog post that you just referenced, but maybe can you give us like the Cliff Notes version? Can you give us a few tips on how to make some simple changes, in particular with fitness?
Sure. My number one is find something that you love, not what your friends love, but you. So maybe your friends say, hey, try out this workout with me. I love it. Go and do it. Try it out. But if you hate it, acknowledge that you hate it and move on to something else. I think it's very important to find something that you like, because that means that you'll do it over and over again, mm-hmm. and get the benefit from it, not only physically, but physical fitness helps you mentally as well and emotionally. So it's important to find something that you love. That was a huge stress reliever for me when I was in corporate America and struggling, like I mentioned earlier. I got so much out of my favorite fitness routine. I would go to it at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
I would drive 30 minutes, go to that class, leave, shower at work, and then go into work. And it just helped me mentally be set to deal with what I was going to have to deal with during the day. Mm-hmm. So that's my number one. Two, I would say be consistent with planning your workout each week. Like, put it on your calendar like you would a meeting, schedule it, and then try to really, really adhere to that schedule. Find a partner, and that's like an accountability partner. So that can be somebody that you're doing the workout with that will call you and say, hey, are we going today? Are we going tomorrow? Whatever. It also can be a trainer if that's something that you want to do, because if you're paying for it, you're more likely to stick to it. But then the fourth, I would say, is don't get discouraged, because life happens. You get sick, your kids get sick, work deadlines get in the way. And so you may not always be in control of your schedule, but don't use that to stop. Just go through what you got to go through, get the deadlines met and get and move through that, but then get back on to your workout schedule. And don't beat yourself up about it if that happens. And then the fifth thing is don't compare yourself to others. And I think that is a trap that a lot of people fall into because they look at their friends or look at people they don't even know and say, oh, I don't look like her, or I don't look like him. I can't do this, or I don't want to go to this gym because everybody looks like this and I don't look like this. It's almost like you've got to stop that and realize that you owe it to yourself to be fit physically because of what I said, the physical fitness, because you get the emotional and physical benefits from it. So you've kind of, you don't have to, don't stop caring about what other people look like, what they think, just do it because you, it's about you. So that's, I talk about that.
Absolutely. I love those. And I'll share just in my own personal journey, what I had to really come to grips with is that there were other more underlying health concerns that were really getting in the way of me being able to have a consistent fitness routine. So I had injuries that really had just caught up with me. So the way that I am able to physically work out has dramatically changed from when I was in my 20s. And I just had to get honest with myself. So kind of back to what you were saying about not beating yourself up, I think we also have to be really honest with where we are in our life, where our body is at that moment, at that point in time, and really embrace what's best for you. Because 20 minutes of walking might be exactly what your body, your mental state needs, whereas someone else, they need a 2-hour powerlifting workout, right? And if they're able to do that, great. But if you're able to do 20 minutes of walking, celebrate that and just embrace it. And that was a turning point for me. I still struggle with it because I know what I used to be able to do and I want to be there, but I'm not, at least not today. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think it's important to always honor your body. So as you're going through the workout, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. Your body is telling you, it's going to tell you what it's feeling. And so like for me, kind of like what you were saying before, I know I used to be able to lift a certain amount of weight when I do shoulder work. I don't do that anymore. My shoulders, I don't know what's happened, but I lift very light weights now on my shoulders because I've had injuries and I don't want to go back to that. So that's where I am now. And I don't really do that much lifting, period. I do other kinds of weight work for my upper body. So it's just different. And so you do have to honor your body for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to tease you a little bit now because a couple of years ago when we met for dinner, I was talking about how I love yoga and we both enjoy bar workouts. And at the time you were like, oh, I just can't get into yoga. But I saw a blog post where you actually, come on, confess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm going tomorrow. This is one of those things as you get older and you and your body gets all, I mean, you're not as flexible and all that. And yoga is so good for countering all the things that we do in life to really tighten up in our body and all of that. You just get to open up, create flexibility. It's awesome. And I do think it's important to find a class, an instructor that you like. Not every class is the same. So I don't know. I don't remember if you and I were talking about the Bikram yoga. I'm not for that yet, but I do like the yoga in a regular temperature room.
Yeah.
However you describe that.
Yeah. Probably more of like a vinyasa flow. I get you.
Yes. Ashtanga, yes. Just don't give me 90-degree heat, please.
Right. I think I'm teasing, but I'm also sharing that because there was a time where I did not like yoga. And even just from a spiritual standpoint as a believer, there's aspects of yoga practice that I don't agree with or I don't want to necessarily connect with. But if they're doing something, you know, encouraging chants or sayings or expressions. I just replace that with the Lord. And,
right.
So I think there's a little bit of this thing out there that Christians shouldn't do yoga, but I believe it's about where is your heart and who are you meditating on? So if you're meditating on the Lord, that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing.
Yeah. I think part of sometimes in yoga, or I guess, let me back up, where I've had issues with it is just the being mentally present while I'm doing it. Sometimes I'm like, gosh, this is so slow, and ooh, I could be doing all these other things. What do I need to get from the store? And so my mind is just gone.
Yeah.
But sometimes, well, a lot of times lately, I am using those moments to think about how God has answered prayer. Last time I went to class, he had just answered a prayer. And so I use those moments where we were holding a certain position. And I was like, thank you, God, just for giving me that conversation and opening up my eyes to that. So I will literally be having that's going through my mind in yoga. Wow. And so, yeah, I'm not doing the chants. We don't, in the class I take, we don't do the chants anyway, but I am having those conversations with God while I'm doing yoga.
Wow. I love that. That's such a beautiful story. And I think that's a great way, even if, whether you're a runner, whether you like Zumba classes, I'm now trying to figure out how do I just do, sometimes even if it's just a quick check-in with the Lord through an expression of gratefulness, an expression of worship. I try to have those moments, even if it's not, some super long prayer, but if it happens when I'm working out, if it happens while I'm cooking dinner, whatever it is, I think that's just, the verse that talks about how we abide in him.
Yeah.
I think figuring out how to have those moments where we're connecting with the Lord throughout our daily activity just makes everything so much richer and helps us stay even more grounded.
Oh yeah. And depending on what you choose to do for physical activity, like running, walking, those are also good opportunities to have those moments of connection with the Lord, because it's just you. It could be just you walking or running or whatever. And, instead of just letting your mind go like, how much longer, refocus and think and just start talking to God and have that conversation and pray. That's what you can do. And before you're done, before you know it, you're done.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Now, earlier you mentioned the recipe exchange on your website, which I definitely want to check that out more. But talk to me a little bit about the benefits you think are available when we cook more at home.
Definitely. I think it's so important to be aware of what you're eating, because when you're aware of what you're eating, then you can control what you consume. A lot of times there's sugar, added sugar in foods that we eat, like pasta sauce, and you'd never think it would be in there, but it is. Or there's a whole bunch of sodium, and that just is no good for, your heart. When you cook more, when you cook for yourself, you can control that. And then also, it's hard for me. I have to be very deliberate about getting fruits and vegetables in my diet. And so when I'm cooking for myself, I can do that. Like, I just made a pasta sauce and I snuck in a whole bunch of carrots. So kids couldn't complain about it because they didn't know, but it was in there. So that was very beneficial for the family. So I think that's a huge benefit when you cook for yourself. Not only that, though, it's also cheaper. it's cheaper. And with the money that you save, you can do some other things with that money. So that's another benefit.
Absolutely. So I think I may have bought this cookbook, and I think it's called The Sneaky Chef. And yeah. That's her whole message of how do you sneak vegetables into your meals, especially for kids, but even for grownups, because I'm like you, it's real easy to hit a drive-through like a Raising Cane's or something like that, where it's just, it's chicken tenders and french fries. And that's super easy to find. It's super fast. It's super quick. And it's not super expensive. Obviously, eating at home is cheaper, but But with the whole sneaky chef, if you can check out that cookbook. Once when I was really trying to be very sneaky and stealth with sneaking vegetables in, I found a cheat. I found a shortcut. And that shortcut is, so if you don't have time to puree your own carrots or dice them up really tiny so that kids won't notice, I think I remember reading that you can buy jars of baby food.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Because think about it. It's just the vegetable and a little bit of water to puree it. It is the most unprocessed food. And if you buy organic baby food, you know that it doesn't have like the pesticides. So at one point I was buying tiny jars of, you know, pureed broccoli or spinach. And my family was like, we don't have any babies in the house anymore. Why are you buying this? So it's one way to take a super shortcut if you don't have time to do it yourself. So just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. And it's very inexpensive too. So anyway, just a little tip.
Yeah.
Well, good. You know, one of the things I know we've talked about before briefly, but you talked about the influence of your parents. And as a mom, and I'm a mom, one of the things that I've been thinking about personally is, what's my spiritual legacy to my children? I want to leave a legacy, obviously, in other areas, but I also believe it's so important to think about our spiritual legacy. I'm just curious, you know, based on your parents and the wonderful foundation that they provided you and your sister, what are you thinking about in terms of being a mom?
And the legacy that I leave for the kids?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why God gave me my kids, is to give them back to Him. And so I spend a lot of time in a Bible study and learning not only about the Bible, but I'm learning how to speak to others that don't know Christ, just how to speak to them. I'm taking my son with me, so he's learning in his Bible study, in that class that he's in. I'm also learning how to be able to pray publicly, and that praying component it was on my heart. It's been on my heart for a while. It came back to me also this week that I just really need to be consistent about modeling that for my kids. And then also reinforcing to them, like when my daughter says, I'm really worried about whatever, tell her, pray about it. Pray about it and don't be worried about it. And then also at night, praying with them before they go to sleep, just modeling that behavior and not stopping. Just keep doing that, because seeing me do it, they'll do it.
Absolutely.
They'll do it. And that's huge. And I want them to be able to do that on their own. I want them to be able to speak to their friends about who the Lord is and bring them to church. My daughter's already doing that, and she has no fear about doing it. And when she starts having fear, I want to be able to encourage her. Don't have that fear. Keep doing it. You're doing great. So those are some of the things I think about about that topic, for sure.
So I'll share a little bit of a funny story. So my daughter, Kennedy, whenever she has an opportunity to personalize something, like a birthday cake or something like that, she always wants to have it personalized with the message, Kennedy rules. Right? And so, you know, no lack of confidence there. And the other day we were at a workshop where we personalized a key, like a door key. So obviously very limited space. And I just asked her, so what are you going to write on your key? How are you going to personalize it? And she thought about it. She knew that there was a limit in characters. And she came up on her own with God rules.
And
I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, that's just so beautiful. I didn't make a big deal out of it because, you know, if you make a big deal out of it or draw attention to something, sometimes it can turn a different way. But
yeah,
for me, that was just a little sign that, okay, she's coming into her own in acknowledging who God is in her life. And she's obviously doing that from a 9-year-old point of view, which is totally fine, but it really blessed me. And I'll share sort of another shortcut way. I'm all about shortcuts. Today is turning into a day where we're talking a lot about simplicity. Yeah. Simplicity. And sometimes simplicity means taking a little bit of a shortcut, but without sacrificing impact. And one of the ways that I'm trying to integrate the Lord into our daily routine, you know, beyond sort of the bedtime prayers and things like that, is on the drive to school. And even sometimes when we walk to school, I will pull up the Bible app and I will have her read the verse for the day.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it's obviously super short, you know, 20, 30 seconds, because it's just one verse. And when she was younger and still learning to read bare words, I would read it for her, obviously. And mm-hmm. then I had a turning point as she got older and her reading skills were better. And I would even change the translation in the Bible app to something that's super, you know, easy to read. And
right.
And I have her read it, and I kind of view it as, okay, she gets to build her vocabulary, because there's still words that even in like an NLT translation or an NIV that are much easier to read, they're still using words that she's probably not getting at school every day. And it gives her an opportunity to start her day with a word from the Lord. So that's just another little shortcut tip that I'll share as well.
I love that. That's a really good one.
Thank you. It's been fun. And it's at first, you know, she was like, ugh, do I have to read it? But now it's just part of what we do. And we're not perfect. I don't do it every single day. Sometimes we're just running so late, even that 30 seconds, we just can't squeeze it in. But so I'm not putting a ton of pressure on myself to be perfect. But it is a way to just demonstrate how, okay, we start our day with a word from the Lord and a quick scripture. So, yeah.
That is really good.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I know we're almost out of time, and I'm sure people are going to want to check out your blog. I can't believe we haven't even mentioned how to find your blog. So let's first start there. How do people find your blog? What are your social handles? How do people connect with you?
Okay. Well, my blog is my name. It's wendytraylor.com. And so it's WendyTraylor.com. And regarding other social media outlets, I'm on Instagram. It's trailer.wendy. That's my handle on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I think you need to put in wendy.trailer.12 on Facebook to find me. But I also have a Facebook page called Live Fully and Filled, and that has a lot of my blog content on there. And I'm going to start putting some other things on there as well. And then something that is I just came up with, I'm going to be doing a sugar detox challenge in April. And I'm going to have a private Facebook group for those that want to do that challenge with me. So if you want to participate in that, follow me on Instagram. I'll be putting some information out about that. It's not going to be long. It's only going to be 5 days. So I think it's going to be fun. It's about reducing or eliminating added sugar from our diet for just 5 days. And there's huge benefits by doing that. You get boost in your energy, reduce your sugar cravings, less fatigue, and then of course there's major long-term impacts from doing that if you can reduce the added sugar from your diet. So, and then in terms of other ways you can connect with me, I'm on Pinterest as Trailer Wendy, and then I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome.
And yeah.
No,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the only other thing I was going to say, I support Carbon 38, which is a fitness brand. And, you know, a lot of times when we do challenges and we set goals, sometimes we don't we don't reward ourselves. And so one of the things that I've known people to do when they meet their goals is that if they buy themselves like a new fitness, whatever, leggings, bra, shirt, whatever it is. So I'm an ambassador for Carbon 38. And if that's something that you'd be interested in doing, buying some new fitness gear for yourself after you reach your goals, you can get 20% off your first purchase of $100 or more at carbon38.com if you use my code, which is WENDYT20. So that's WENDY T as in Tom, and then 20. All right?
Excellent. I love discounts. And and I'm sure other people do too. So I will be sure to include the link to Carbon 38 with the mention of your special discount code for 20% off. And you might convince me to participate in this sugar detox challenge. So
Good.
5 days. I think I might be able to do that. So do you have the specific dates yet, or should we get that later from you?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to start this on April 2nd.
Okay.
Which is the day after Easter. So you get your chocolate bunnies. You're going to eat all your chocolate bunnies and your jelly beans. I know that's not what Easter is about, but somehow or another, we all get hold of that candy. You're going to finish it on Easter, and then the next day, start the sugar detox. And it's only for 5 days. It's not that bad.
Okay, I love the fact that it's just 5 days, because that doesn't feel too overwhelming. I was afraid you were going to say like 21 days, and I'm like, ah!
Oh, honestly, Kelly, I was. And my husband was like, I'm out. I said, okay, let's cut it back to 5. And maybe that's more attainable. So it's only 5 days. Okay. You'll be done by the weekend.
I love it. Okay. Yeah. I'm in. I'm going to do it with you. I promise. So I need to do that. Yeah. Excellent.
Okay.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you today. And for everybody who's listening, I hope you can just sort of excuse a little bit of our craziness. We've known each other a really long time, so I'm sure it showed a little bit. But thank you, Wendy, for coming on the show.
Absolutely, and thank you for inviting me. It's been so much fun.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it too. So let's close out in a quick prayer. Gracious Father, we just bless your name, and we thank you for the gift of simplicity. Lord, it's biblical to be simple in our life. Your word says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And so I ask you, Father, to help us to live simply, to be filled with your Spirit, so that you can guide us and direct our path, lead us in righteousness. Lord, help us to be a blessing to others through mentorship, by sharing the word of God, by just sharing encouragement to someone who's going through a rough time. Help us to be the salt and light on this earth. And Lord, help us to not forget our families, whether we have children of our own or maybe we have cousins, nieces, nephews. Help us, Lord, to plant spiritual seeds so that generations to come will honor you, will follow you, will bless your name. Lord, we thank you for this time to reflect and think about how we can be authentic to who you created us to be. Please strengthen us and give us the courage to walk boldly in what you have called us to do. We love you, we praise you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, everyone. Until next time, we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thank you for joining this episode of Cubicles in Christ. Be sure to visit BeWellMySoul.com for fresh biblical inspiration and practical ideas to thrive in life. May you grow in peace, love, and soul prosperity.